Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Right After Thrones here. Matt Datz, Tim Curry coming at you here midweek review analysis pod. First of all, Curry, welcome back.
Datz, welcome here.
Yeah.
We're in a different studio tonight.
Awesome. Different studio. Curry's home studio, which we love. But yeah, we want to do a quick analysis. We give our instant reaction. It was fantastic. We want to shout out all listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Climb the charts, which was awesome. Sure, we got some new listeners. So if you're a second time listener, thanks for coming back. And follow us on Right After GOT on the Twitter there. A lot of good content. But midweek, we always do a quick analysis, deeper take, built on top of the instant reaction, and then as well as a preview pod. So check that out as well. But Curry, let's dive into some more deeper analysis here.
All right, so I have a lot of wrap-up notes, wrap-up thoughts after the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it was tough in the moment to really discuss anything more than just what we saw and what we took in.
Because yeah, and some quick takeaways, yeah.
It was so quick and so tough to tell what was going on that you just kind of had to process everything.
Exactly.
And it was tough to have any sort of huge
to unpack that quickly, yeah, for sure.
But just some overall thoughts going around. So, love the episode. It was very good. It's gotten a lot of hate out there in the past few days. People kind of woke up disappointed afterward or, you know, decided they wanted more. And I get that. I understand that. I kind of felt a similar way. I still think it was great, but there's
the morning after effect.
Yeah. The morning after is like, really? Like, they did that. They chose to do this. So there's some things that I think could have been better. Starting from the top. So, the Dothraki. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
For me, I thought that having the Dothraki charge like that and just immediately, you know, die in the darkness and be a non-factor, I thought it was scary. Like, it was
cool effects.
It was a cool effect. Yeah, it was a cool effect. It was scary. But from a battle strategy standpoint, I mean,
horrendous.
Awful. Absolutely terrible.
Absolutely. And we'll go back. I mean, we'll probably reference this later in the pod. And a lot of people have done this week is the whole Ned Stark quote about like 500 men in Winterfell, the way it's designed, can fend off like 10,000. So you have that huge home court advantage. And talk about just blowing it right off the jump street with the Dothraki call to send him out there.
So the Dothraki actually won Woe to the Week.
Really?
Over the Night King.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm looking. Yeah, so there's still 2 hours left in the
poll. Yeah, we'll get to
poll, but 50% Dothraki riders. Night King only 25%.
Yeah, and talk about a total hype up they got too. They got the plug from the Red Woman, and you know they're thinking, all right, let's roll, and then just smoked, which added the effect. But yeah, I agree. Battle strategy wise,
and it's been said for seasons from different characters that a Dothraki horde in open field, like, you know, it's suicide. Yeah. They're unbeatable.
Yeah,
and to have them just vanish and be a non-factor in the first seconds of this huge battle is crazy. And tactically, they probably should have had them flank around as opposed to just going straight into the teeth of the Night King, of the Whites. But
and one of our complaints was that we didn't get too much insight into the battle plan beforehand, which is you know, it was a legitimate complaint. We got a lot of kumbaya campfire songs, which was cool because we thought we were going to see a lot of people die. We didn't see that, and we'll get to that in a short minute here. But we didn't get too much insight into the battle planning. So this was kind of our first experience. Like, oh, shit. Like, this is, like, part of the
plan. This is the plan. This is what they wanted to do.
This is exactly what they did.
It didn't really go as planned.
No, not at all. And, yeah, total mix-up, total mess-up. Interesting, like, just really bad decision.
And another thing, you know, in a similar kind of strategic maneuver is Jon and Daenerys, their original plan was to be patient, and Daenerys couldn't be because she saw all the people,
the Dothraki,
all her army, the Unsullied, the Dothraki, like her people were dying, and so she couldn't be patient. And this was similar to Jon in Battle of the Bastards.
Yes.
When, you know, him and Davos were talking, they're like, oh, if we let them come to us, we'll have a chance.
Yep.
But Jon saw Rickon out there, and he totally,
And then Davos got to send the boys out to get their mans back.
Yeah, so
another Jon missed
a similar tactical error by Daenerys in this episode that Jon had in Battle of the Bastards.
Got it. And, I mean, like, a lot of people complain that And let's talk about the episode a little bit more macro as well. It's like the dragons were way less of a factor than we thought they could have been and probably should have been, right?
Yeah, especially this is the first time we saw like dragon v dragon combat.
Yeah, dragon battle.
And I would have thought that there would be a little more
epicness,
dragon v dragon, and a little more dragon dominating the battlefield.
Exactly. And like even when we had dragons on screen, another huge complaint was the darkness, man.
Yeah, that was something that dominated the Twitter conversation after the episode was the darkness.
The cinematographer.
TVs, it was tough to see.
Yeah.
And that's happened in the past with Thrones, but especially this. Oh, not like this.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. I mean, we were sitting there. We, you know, for reference, we have like a nice get-together watching Thrones, a nice crowd. And I was like, whoa, like, I felt bad. Like, something wrong with my TV? Like, are we on HD? Like, what is happening right now? But then you go on Twitter afterwards, everyone's like, it's brutal. It was poor. So to build it up that much, and I get like the whole realism thing, like that's like a bit new thing and all that. And like you want to see how dark it is. It's still, I feel like I understand why they're getting flack for it for sure.
Yeah, but I mean we've had battles at night before.
I know.
We had Blackwater was dark. Hardhome was not really middle of the night, but still dark.
Yeah.
And even Battle of the Bastards, it was, you know, it was dark, but it wasn't pitch black nighttime like this one was, I guess. But it was, yeah, it was tough
on
to
another
see,
level.
And I don't think making it a little lighter would have taken away from anything.
Would have hurt at all. I mean, especially to hype it up that much. Mm-hmm. It almost seemed like a cheat. It almost seemed like almost like a cop out. Like, and that's a tough accusation to throw. But it's like, all right, like we're just gonna make it so like. There's times where it was just almost pitch black on the screen. Which is like, what the hell is going on here? And I guess it added to the suspense a little bit, but I totally get the qualms people had with it for sure. Trying to think of some other stuff.
So
what else you got?
Another major critique from this episode was Jon Snow being almost, not a non-factor, but not being his usual heroic self.
I know. And we've seen him ride a dragon one other time. And now... he's one of your best swordsmen out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be your commander. And we got him just flying around on a dragon for
so
most of it.
Jon really struggled while he was on the dragon. We saw he couldn't see anything. He ran into Daenerys and Drogon at one point.
Yeah, right.
You know, him and Rhaegal were battling Viserion and the Night King. He got thrown off.
He's not calling out any orders, though, so it's like almost like awkward, you know? Like he's literally just sitting on the dragon, holding on for dear life.
Aside from Blackwater... Jon has been involved in the major battle episodes on the field, on foot, as a commander,
making decisions.
And that really wasn't the case this episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, he planned it. You know, he was part of the battle strategizing last episode. But, yeah, we expected more from Jon as a leader and in the field personally.
We see afterwards, they talked a little bit about how like Jon Snow was kind of like had become a little cliche.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I feel like that, like they wanted to stay away from that as much as they can. So, but I think they might've downplayed him like too much.
You know? I mean, and that's the thing that the showrunners said in regards to killing the Night King, that they chose Arya over Jon in part because Jon was the logical choice, the easy choice.
Yeah.
And they kind of wanted to do something for shock value, so they chose Arya. And I don't have a problem with Arya killing the Night King. She's clearly got the skills.
We saw, we saw all that time she spent acquiring those skills.
Yeah, yeah. But the biggest qualm I have with Arya killing the Night King is just from a narrative perspective, character arcs. You know, Arya's character arc has been, even throughout the Faceless Men training, the assassin training, it was never to kill the Night King for her. It was always Cersei.
Her list.
Illyn Payne, you know, the Mountain, the Hound, Red Woman. It was her list. It was revenge.
Murder.
You know, the phrase.
Yeah.
So she, to have her kill the Night King, in my mind, I feel like, and we'll talk about this more on the preview episode, but I feel like she can't kill Cersei now. I feel like that's kind of too much.
Yeah, it's a little overkill. No pun intended.
Yeah, so I I predicted last episode that John or Bran would kill the Night King, and that was simply because those were the two that it had to do with their stories,
yeah,
with their characters.
I mean, John's been about, like, you know, this is John's fight, this is John, you know, living versus the dead.
That's what he's done throughout his
series. The greater good guy.
That's why he united the wildlings.
Yes.
Like, it was because of the Night King. He's faced off with him before. Bran has had his moments with the Night King, obviously. Arya had never seen a White Walker or seen a white.
Yeah.
So it was.
Was it unjust?
It was just surprising. That's why they did it, is they wanted a surprise. They wanted a shock. So I don't think it was unfair or unjust, but I think now, especially, John needs more.
Yes.
Because he is the hero. Is it cliche? Are heroes cliche? Maybe. But at the same time, it's not like John has been the hero of the whole story. He started out as Ned Stark's bastard who was being sent to the Night's Watch. Like, it wasn't like, look at this hero, we're gonna watch this hero's journey, like,
no,
all hail John. Like, it's gotten to that point, but it took a climb to get there. I think we need a little more from John's story, and I don't, if Arya were to kill Cersei in addition to the Night King, I feel like then we can really say, okay, that wasn't fair for her to get both. And I understand she's a faceless assassin. She's probably the best suited for that kind of kill of Cersei or of the Night King, but I just think it would be overkill. That's all.
Got it. Let me ask you this. So, percent chance you thought going into the episode that the undead might just win? Like 0%, right?
Like 0%. In terms of win, like...
Not win the whole thing.
Yeah, win like the war, 0%. Win that battle.
Win,
like,
the night.
As if Winterfell was lost and they would have
maybe
massive
a few people
casualties
retreat.
And just like a small amount get to retreat somehow.
To Yara Greyjoy?
Maybe like 5%. I didn't think it was likely. I thought there was a slim chance that the Night King would survive by going to King's Landing or separating himself from the battle at some point, but I didn't think there was a chance that there was much of a chance that the Night King would win the Battle of Winterfell.
Now, during the episode, did that go up at all?
Because
I was going to say that a lot of people are saying, and I think I'm kind of on board with this, is that like they got it to a point where, even without the major deaths, and we'll talk about the deaths in a minute, but they got it to a point where it was like, oh shit, like they could really like not win this battle.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I think the starting it off with the Dothraki just disappearing, that was
a tone setter.
That set the tone to the point where it was like, what are they up against? Because we never saw anything like that before.
No. Yeah.
But I can't really think of many other.
When he rose to people from the dead and Danny was in a pinch. John, and that's another qualm, is like John was like surrounded and then they come out of one-on-one, whatever. But I think they did a good job of, you know, using the 82 minutes to really like say like, this was really hard fought battle.
Mm-hmm.
There was a chance without the Hail Mary play that this was really going to go south. But then you turn it the other way and it's like, we got no real deaths. We got a few deaths, but we got no real huge death.
No major, major deaths. There was Jorah Mormont, absolutely.
He's been there since season one.
But Lyanna, fairly minor character.
Very minor character.
Ed, extremely minor.
More minor, yeah.
And Beric Dondarrion, you know, he's that sweet spot target character to kill. So
yeah, and Theon.
Oh, and Theon, absolutely. I mean, Theon was pretty major, but definitely a step below your Jon and Arya and Sansa and... Even, you know, like, he I would say he's probably even level with, like, Davos and Brienne. Like,
yes.
Theon's kind of in that range.
So we go back to the campfire scene from the week before that was being heralded as fantastic and amazingly written. And so who's sitting around that campfire? Davos, Brienne, Jaime, Tyrion.
Podrick.
Tormund.
Davos.
Yeah, I said Davos to start. Yeah. So was it, like, 6 or 7? Yeah. What would you put the over-under of deaths on that campfire scene, campfire crew? I would say at least 3, 4.
I would have said 2.5.
Tormund, Brienne, Pod. Davos is a questionable one. But, and the Lannisters are questionable, though. But at least Tormund and Brienne, especially with Brienne with the send-off.
Yeah.
I mean, you would not have said zero. And every absolutely one of those characters lived.
Yeah.
What's your reaction?
I think they should have had more deaths from that range of characters. Not just those six specifically, but that range of characters.
And I'll add in Grey Worm, who got his, and Missandei, who got their moment, you would say.
Yeah, and I mean, they showed throughout the Long Night, they didn't really key on anyone specifically other than Arya and Jon.
And the darkness.
A little bit of here and there between other characters, but whenever they would show Brienne or Jaime, or Brienne and Jaime and Pod, it was usually all three.
Yes.
And
that left flank crew.
It was kind of like one of them was being overwhelmed at all times, and the other two would bail them out. It happened multiple times.
Exactly.
And to see it happen once is like, all right, yeah, that makes sense. Brienne and Jaime and Pod, they all have each other's back. But it happened constantly, and to not have any one of them
get clipped.
Yeah. Like we saw Ed bailed out Sam, and he died immediately.
Yes, and I'm thinking, all right, like
that was early on.
Yes,
that was like, all right, setting the tone for the night. That's how it's going down, and like, it just wasn't.
So. It just didn't pan out.
So
I knew you have three episodes left after this. That's my big qualm.
Yeah, like this was the hyped up battle.
Yes,
and to have so many characters survive it is a little disappointing because now, if they survive that, what's going to take them down?
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit because like, I would have so much rather seen Brienne or any of those people, Tormund, die at the hands of the real enemy, you know, the true enemy, all that. And if we're going to see them go down via, you know, one of Cersei's mercenaries, mercenary 552 takes down Tormund, it's just going to be like, shit, like, all right, like, that's how he goes out, that's going to be, this is like the time where they could have just, you know, really trimmed the fat, but it can really condense the story. And now they're walking out with how many characters? A lot of characters that we know.
Yeah, I mean, and we saw Grey Worm in the trailer, and he doesn't even have a scratch.
Was he even in the battle? Yes, yeah, he was. So,
to be honest, I thought Grey Worm was, of all the characters, I thought he was the one who would have had his moment to die this episode. And watching it, I thought, okay, here it comes. Grey Worm's going to be the hero and die.
Yes.
And sacrifice himself for the greater good. And it didn't happen. So
Not Beric Dondarrion goes out of Christ-like pose. We didn't mention that on the, but that was like a little nod to the religion.
Yeah, blocked the whites from getting past the hallway, and then somehow he ended up getting in the door anyway without any
40
whites.
Yards downfield.
That was a little bizarre, but yeah, he had like a Christ-like pose of, I thought they were just going to leave him out there.
Yeah.
In that pose, blocking the hallway, kind of similar to Hodor type, like a
exactly.
The door. But no, they dragged him in. And
so he gets saved, although it was in Hound says like 19 times or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that, they kind of put that aspect of the storyline to bed, especially with the way it ends.
They've kind of wrapped up the Lord of Light almost.
Yeah.
So we had Beric, he died saving Arya, and Melisandre says that was kind of his purpose. And then, obviously, at the end, Melisandre just went out into the mist and took off her magical necklace.
Just dissolved.
And just kind of shriveled up into dust. Like.
And she said to Davos, when she came in, there's no need to execute me, I'll be dead by dawn.
Yeah,
so, and so you're thinking like, all right, like, what does that mean? Well, she just dipped, like.
So she knew that this was her purpose, was the Long Night, the battle against the White Walkers, the battle against death, that the Lord of Light needed to play a role against the darkness, and that she was going to fulfill the Lord of Light's wishes.
Got it. And another thing, I'll just shift gears here, is like, we're in like people getting like justice, like justified deaths, like Theon's character arc, and Ed saving, Jorah defending Dany. That's how he goes out. Like, that's kind of like not Thrones. Like you know, normally it's like unjustified deaths. It's like what we have come to love. But now are we getting too sappy? Like, are we just getting in like character completion?
Yeah, I think it's more. It's the end of the series, and a lot of the characters that we've, you know, seen grow up or we've seen progress over the series kind of if the series is going to wrap up nicely, which to be seen, you know, how to interpret the word nicely there. But if the series is going to have a solid ending, then some of these characters also deserve their own kind of respectable, solid ending. So yeah. Something that leaves you satisfied.
Like Brienne getting knighted, but then she doesn't die. So
yeah, I mean, I think, and that's the thing, is they teased that it was going to be bittersweet, the ending, not the battle, but the ending. That was what one word that really stuck out. That
George said.
Yeah, Jorah said, and I haven't really seen much bittersweet yet. Jorah, sure, he had bittersweet.
Yeah,
but it's not there yet. So I'm hoping we get it in the next three episodes.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Some quick other things. People theorized last week that Dany, like on the battlefield, was going to be like anti-Bran, anti-Sam, because of what John told her. We see John yell about Bran, you know, when he's on the ground. She screams like, "Go, like, mm-hmm. get him!" So like, there was none of that. No hesitation.
There were some theories that that Daenerys would let John die.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that clearly didn't happen. She saved him when he was surrounded by whites.
Got it. So yeah, you have no qualms with the Arya killing the Night King though. Cat's paw, kind of cool, full circle, got a little bit like save Bran.
I do think that was cool, but also people are saying, "Oh, Bran knew because he gave Arya the cat's paw at the Godswood."
I'm out.
I'm out on that. Bran doesn't know the future.
Correct.
He didn't know that was going to happen. We know he's seen the future before. In like early on, he had that one vision where he saw the past, then the future. He saw, you know, the Mad King, and he saw the same kind of throne vision that Daenerys saw. Like,
yeah.
Whether that's future, whether it's just a vision,
whatever,
to be
dream,
seen. But yeah, Bran, he's not all-knowing, omniscient. Like, he has the present and he has the past, but there's been no sort of inkling that he knows the future and knows what's coming and can just do what he wants.
Yeah, just he's like playing a master
God,
hand.
Yeah.
Literally, like, all right, I'm gonna sit here and then Theon's gonna kill and then Arya will come. No, it's not like that. Bran, a lot of people making a big deal about Bran saying, like, "I'm going to go now."
Bran, I mean, he didn't really do anything.
And people are like freaking
during the
out
battle
because he didn't do anything.
What did you expect him to do?
Exactly. I mean, he played bait. He got touched before he divulged that to everyone. Hey, he's going to come for me. He did. People talking about like him warging into dragon, him warging into Theon. We've seen him war against like small animals and a direwolf once, right?
Direwolf, Hodor, obviously.
Yeah, and like simple minded. Like yeah. It can only happen with Hodor because he was like kind of already simple minded or something like that. So like him warging into like a dragon, like some people were talking to, like, why didn't he do that or anything? I don't even know if that's in his like deck of cards, you know? Like he got into crows, he did a little scouting, he introduced us to the Night King for the episode. And that was kind of it. And then he played his role as bait. So I'm not too, people are off the brand wagon. I'm still totally fine with it. How about with the Night King actor tweeted though?
Yeah. So the
what's
Night
good
King,
with that? Tell the people.
I think his name is Vladimir, something with an F.
Good name.
I was
going
to say Furyk, but I don't know if that's it. That's like a golfer. Anyway, so the
Vladimir,
Night King
though.
Actor, he tweeted and we retweeted something about the Night King, when he touches Craster's babies, he turns them into White Walkers. The Night King touched Bran, you know, dot, dot, dot. Like, what do you think's going to happen?
He's like, what did the Blood Raven say when he said, "You got touched"? Because he said, like, he saw me, and they made a big deal about him getting touched.
Yeah.
He dropped that bomb before the episode, I think?
I think it was after.
Was it after?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
people are theorizing, like, Bran, like, still might be a little fudged up.
Yeah, people are running with this and saying Bran's the Night King, Bran's the Night King. You know,
the
theory's still alive, Bran's the Night King.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm out on that. I've always been out on that. But I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it if it came to life.
Developed a little bit more.
Because that's another criticism that we've had about this episode is that the Night King died kind of, I don't want to say it was too easy, because it wasn't.
No.
But we just, they could have developed that character so much more. I mean,
oh my God,
look, we got something of his motivation that he wants to have a permanent long night, he wants permanent winter, he wants to kill Bran. We saw how he was created, the Children of the Forest wanted this, you know, ultimate weapon against men.
Yes.
And it backfired. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot they could do with this character, and with this spinoff that they're doing called The Long Night. Or
Working title is The Long Night. It's going to be in that era of when The Night King was made. So spinoff show, prequel coming. It kind of tees up. I think it tees up for us not. People are thinking like, all right, Bran will explain more next week.
No.
We're not getting anything else.
No, yeah. So I don't think we're going to get anything else in The Night King. But if Bran were to slowly transition into the
bad guy,
Night King or something because he was touched, wouldn't hate it.
Would be very interesting. Couple more things. Sansa Tyrion kind of came up empty.
So yeah, let's talk about Sansa and Tyrion. So Sansa, bad episode for her. She was in the crypts. She felt helpless. She didn't inspire anyone or, you know, inspire bravery in the women and children in the crypts. And she just kind of said, you know, we're useless. We're helpless. All we can do is nothing. She even had a moment with Tyrion where she said it would never work between us because of our divided loyalties regarding the Dragon Queen.
Bad call.
So first let's talk about that quote, talking about the Dragon Queen.
Yeah.
And so we know that Sansa and Daenerys don't see eye to eye. And Sansa's very skeptical of Daenerys's motivation and ultimate plan. And so she just says that to Tyrion, and then Missandei comes in and says, you know, we'd all be dead without the Dragon Queen.
So true.
I'm gonna stand up for my girl Sansa here. She wasn't really talking about whether they'd be dead or not. She was just talking about her relationship with Tyrion. She said it would never last because of the Dragon Queen. She didn't say that they would all be alive if it weren't for the Dragon Queen. Like, I think she understands that they'd all be dead, but so
Missandei,
huge clapback, but
great clapback. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it was a little out of context. Her,
but it could develop.
It was sensitive for her. It struck a nerve.
Got it, for sure. And it'll be interesting. We'll talk about in the preview more about that.
But then let's talk about the deleted scene. So we tweeted something, a video, a clip that was deleted, and it was of Sansa and Tyrion.
Well, deleted. Like, it just didn't make the cut.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So this isn't canon, this isn't part of the show, but
correct,
something they chose to take out. So it was Sansa and Tyrion in their moment hiding behind that tombstone that in the crypt. They turn the corner and take down a pair of whites.
Yes.
And ultimately it was taken out. It didn't make the cut. So part of the reason I think that they chose to take that out is it doesn't show it keeps Tyrion and Sansa from having their moment. So I think that both of them are going to have more to play
later
and, you know, a bigger role, a larger role in the outcome. And Tyrion even, he teased that in the episode. He said, you know, oh, I stormed the Mudgate at Blackwater. Like, you know, they need me out there. I could see things people don't see. And Sansa's like, no, you can't. You would die. Like, so I think that the two of them both have larger roles to play in the future.
Yeah, and let me hop on the Missandei clapback there. She, and it goes back to what Dany said originally to Sansa, like when she said John, she might be manipulating John, suggests that John could be manipulated because he loved her. She says, yeah, like, I'm here fighting his war. Like, I've been all about the throne. I've been all about this. That's why she has the Unsullied. That's why she has the Dothraki. And they're shredded right now. No more Dothraki. Unsullied is tattered for sure. So just like where we stand right now in terms of numbers, and we'll talk more in the preview, but it got shredded big time.
Yeah. That was well put.
It's just like they're down men. I mean, we have main characters, but in terms of bodies, it's not ideal, right?
Yeah, they took a large amount of casualties. It's going to be tough to recover for either, you know, the North, the Wildlings, or Daenerys' side, the Unsullied, and the Dothraki, and everyone else that was involved in the fray.
Got it.
So I have a couple more wrap-up thoughts. I'm sure you have a couple too, but let's take a second here. We'll pause, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap it up.
Cool. All right. So, Curry, take us home, bro.
So, a couple more wrap-up thoughts that I had One is the Unsullied. I just want to say, as in terms of the Battlefield, they were the MVPs. They were amazing. Like, they lived up to their reputation of being, you know, born and bred to be warriors, to battle. Like, they fought as a unit. They moved as a unit. They were well organized and led by Grey Worm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the retreat, like, they held their ground and were moving together, like, slowly retreating while everyone else is sprinting back.
Get back.
And they were holding their ground to allow everyone to get back. Like, I thought the Unsullied were very, very underrated. And I'm really interested to see, one, you know, how many they have left, but two is how the Unsullied stack up against the Golden Company. Because
yes.
The Golden Company is supposed to be, you know, the best mercenary army in the world. But the Unsullied, I feel like that has also been said about them, that they were the best army you can buy.
Exactly. So, we're gonna
interested to see how they stack up there.
Absolutely. What else?
And one last thought I have is, this is kind of smaller character, but Alice Karstark.
Yes.
So, redhead, younger girl. She was named Lord of Carhold after the Battle of the Bastards when her father died. So she was with Theon and the Ironborn as they were wheeling Bran into the Godswood.
Bran was wheeling.
Yeah. So she might be dead. I would say she's likely dead. There was a clip. Yes. Yeah, if she was one of the Ironborn, if she was with the Ironborn, if she was one of the people defending Bran, then she's dead.
Yeah.
But it's unconfirmed. Minor character, but I think she would have deserved to be shown on screen at least.
Yeah. House Umber gone.
House Umber gone. House Mormont gone.
House Bolton gone. House Mormont gone. House Glover.
House Glover didn't even show up. They should be gone. That should be their first stop south. Just, oh, let's take a detour real quick. Go over to House Glover, burn it down, and then we'll go south.
Night's Watch gone? All the people?
Yeah, I mean, Night's Watch possibly gone forever.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're... No need. There's no need anymore. Like, you're friendly with the wildlings. You save the wildlings, and you're going to give them land, and there's no more White Walkers for now, I guess. We'll see.
So North is just shredded.
Yeah.
Stark's still chilling, though. All good. Anything else before we shut it down here? Goat, quote, woat?
Yeah, let's wrap up goat, quote, and woat. As we said, woat was Dothraki Riders. Score 50% to 25%.
Which is huge. An upset as can
be. In an episode when the Night King dies, he blows a 3-1 lead. Like,
yeah.
Dothraki really came up small.
I like it, though. I like that from the people.
So we had almost 1,000 votes, just under.
Love that.
For that poll.
Thank you so much.
We had... our go to the week poll, we had, again, it was almost 1,000 votes. So we had, this one was a runaway, but I'll just read off the nominees. We had Theon Greyjoy, Melisandre, and then a joint vote of Lyanna and Jorah Mormont. So.
Let me guess percentage on Arya Stark.
Arya Stark dominated.
82?
Close. 76%.
Got it. That's hot.
Lyanna and Jorah had 10. Melisandre and Theon both had 7. So Arya Stark killed the Night King. Can't get much better in terms of goat votes.
Absolutely.
And we had quote of the week. So for this, we had Arya to Sansa, sticking with the pointy end, callback.
Love that, callback.
For Bran to Theon, we had "You're a good man, thank you." Pretty emotional there.
Legit.
For
as much emotion from Bran as you're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. We had Melisandre / Arya with "What do we say to the God of Death? Not today." Again, callback.
My boy.
And also foreshadowing.
Call forward.
Yeah, so. And lastly, we had Missandei to Sansa. Without her, without the Dragon Queen,
we'd
all be dead already.
Clap, hashtag clapback.
So the winner of that, and this one was right around 500 votes, we had Melisandre and Arya, of course, with "What do we say to the God of Death? Not today."
Hashtag Syria. Lives forever.
It's true.
Awesome, 50%. So it's a legit win with a 4.
It was 62%.
Oh, 62. All right, yeah. Perfect. Anything else before we shut this down?
No, let's... put a bow on it and head
82
over.
Minutes, longest battle in cinematic history or whatever. I'm giving it a solid B. You're giving it passing review as well. So there's our analysis. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Instant Reaction, as well as this quick breakdown with some larger macro takeaways. Check out the preview. And follow us on Twitter, @RioterGOT. For Tim Curry, this is Matt Datz. Join us again right after Thrones.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.